Good evening. It's good to see everybody tonight. Tonight we are continuing on in our discussions on the Trinity. And last week, Justin brought us God the Father, and we looked at Scripture and who God is as the Father and what that means. And tonight we're going to be looking at God the Son. And so the question is, what does it matter that God the Son existed? It's a rhetorical question. But that's what I want you to think through, okay? So I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I don't want answers. I don't want you raising your hands or anything. I just want you to think, okay? Now, these questions, they should invoke some emotion in you, okay? Here we go. What if I said that Jesus Christ has not always existed, but instead was created by the Father? So he's not eternal. He was created, all right? What if I said that Jesus was fully God, but he only appeared to be a man? So that his time on earth, he was just kind of this hologramic appearance that he was really God, and he acted and ate the part. He ate and acted like a human, but he really wasn't human, but he is fully God. And what if I said that Jesus was fully man, but not fully God, and that God chose Jesus as a man on earth, chose him based on his merits, and adopted him as his son? So he's not divine, but he is a special entity, if you will. And what if I said that Jesus indeed had a human body, but he did not have a human mind? In other words, he was flesh and bone, but the mind and the soul that God gave him was a divine essence and not of a human essence. I hope those questions make you uneasy, because they should, because they all address heresy that the early church had to deal with and that we still deal with today. And we're going to walk through that. And so the question of what does it matter that God is the Son, well, that's what we're going to try to answer tonight. And we're going to show why it matters. It's my hope that those questions made you feel uneasy. I mean that. Because if you're each one of those questions either doubted the humanity of Christ or they doubted the divinity of Christ. And when we doubt one or the other, we don't have Jesus Christ or the gospel that God gives us. And so that is what we're going to look at tonight. So let's look at those questions again. What if I had said that Jesus has not always existed, but was instead created by the Father? This was an early church heresy called Arianism. A man by the name of Arius, he was under the bishop in Alexandria or somewhere, a deacon in Alexandria back in the 4th century, sometime in there. And he said that Jesus was a created being. And he was screaming to the Emperor Constantine, we're getting persecuted because we're saying that Jesus was not. Meaning, Jesus did not always exist. And so we look at that. And we look at modern day parallels of that teaching, and we look at Jehovah's Witnesses, who say Jesus was a created being. He's not divine. Okay? This is a big battle. Have you heard of the Council of Nicaea in 325, the Nicene Creed? This is what that was addressing. Who is Jesus? This is what they were addressing. The fact that he indeed was from the beginning, and always has been and always will ever be, and not that Arius is saying that he was a created being created by God. Second question, what if I said that Jesus was fully God, but that he only appeared to be a human? This is an early heresy called Docetism, that the appearance that Christ was, he was fully God, but he only appeared as a man. Now, we read Scripture, and there's no question that a biblical reading of Scripture suggests that Christ was both God and man, fully God, fully man. And we're going to look at the first chapter of John in just a minute, and it's going to blatantly tell us this truth. So docetism is an early heresy where Jesus appeared to be human, but really wasn't. He acted the part. Third question. What if I said that Jesus was fully man, but not fully God? And so God looked down on the life of Jesus of Nazareth and saw a man who was pretty much sinless. He lived a very perfect life. And so God said, I'm going to adopt him as my son. And then he gets the title Son of God. So he's fully man, not fully God. Not God at all. He's adopted. And this is a heresy called adoptionism. And the modern equivalent of that is something called modalism. You may have heard of a modalist. A modalist is a person who believes that it's a monotheist, a person who believes in one God, and that God puts on these different masks. God the Son puts on the mask of God the Son, puts on the mask of God the Father, puts on the mask of God the Spirit. You see, the modalist does not allow for the distinction in roles within the Trinity. They do not accept the Trinity. They say that it's God playing these roles. It's all one person. There is no distinction. That's what adoptionism is getting at, and that's what modern-day modalism gets at. You heard of T.D. Jakes? Go to Walmart, you see T.D. Jakes, books all over the place. He's a modalist. That's a denial of the Trinity. And what if I said that Jesus indeed had a human body, but that he did not have a human mind, but rather a divine mind? That he was flesh and bone, but instead of God putting an entity, a mind-like entity in him that is able to be corrupted, God put in him a divine mind that is incorruptible. Well, what's the problem with that? That sounds good, right? Because Jesus lived a perfect life. Well, the problem is that if he is not exactly like us, how can he be the perfect sacrifice for us? These are heresies that the church in the fourth century battled against. And these are heresies that I want you to understand still exist. And now we have new heresies like the prosperity gospel and things that pop up like that. You think the prosperity gospel would have worked in the medieval times? No. No. When you had monarchs suppressing the people and keeping them virtually poor, and nobility keeping the people virtually poor, your prosperity gospel is not going to work then, but you put it in an American society, an American culture, where people have the freedom to go out and make their lives what they want of it, and boom, you've got people buying into this false gospel, a false reality of who Jesus Christ is. So we've got all these different philosophies of who Jesus is and all these different heresies that say he's something that he's not. And then we have the Bible. So tonight, we're going to look at the Bible. We're going to look at a few different places. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. These are the words of the Apostle John as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." And this is important right here, because this is where John names who the Word of God is. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. It's a pretty powerful beginning to the Gospel of John. It's pretty potent. We could spend weeks just on these 18 verses trying to unpack it and still not even grasp what it's trying to tell us about God. So real briefly, and I'm not doing justice to it, I just want to pull out a few truths that we know just from a surface look at this section of verses here. First off, and a lot of this is coming from the very first verse, the Word of God has always existed. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Well, if in the beginning was the Word, how could the Word be created? For the Word has always existed. That knocks out some of the heresy right there. Second point, the Word of God is God, and the Word was God. So the Word is an eternal being, eternal entity, and the Word is also God. And God, the Father, is also God. Okay? The Word of God is Jesus Christ. John names him in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He mentions that there was a man named John calling out from the wilderness, pointing to Jesus Christ. He puts a lot of emphasis on that, of the very fact that John's saying, I'm not the one that's supposed to come because the one coming after me came before me. Jesus is both fully divine and fully human. Well, there goes your Arianism. There goes your Docetism. There goes your Apollinarianism, which was the very last one we talked about where he had the divine mind. There goes Marcionism, which we've not even talked about, which we don't have time to talk about. But there goes all your heresies about who Jesus Christ is, because when you step away from the truth that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, you are no longer in the gospel that God has revealed to us through the scriptures. Jesus is the fullness of God's revelation, and to know Jesus is to know God. Those are just some basic truths right off the surface here in John 1. So let's flip over to John 8:58. Very short verse, but probably one of the most profound verses in all of Scripture. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Those two words, I am, should throw you right back into Exodus. When Moses is standing before God, and God's telling Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him that I sent you, this is what happens. It says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. You want to talk about making some Jewish folks mad? That one statement, before Abraham was, I am, that rocked their world. Because this Messiah that they have been waiting for their whole life and for generation after generation after generation is standing in front of them for the first time in history, and he's saying, before Abraham was, I am. I am, I am. And they're astounded and shocked, and they think he's blaspheming. God can't blaspheme himself, can he? If I were to stand up before you and say, I am, then I would be blaspheming God because I'm just a finite, sinful creature. Here we are with a perfect human, fully human, and a perfect God, fully God, incarnate into one body, saying, before Abraham was, I am. And it's hard to look at, if you go back through church history and look at all these different heresies, even ones that we deal with today, and you put those heresies up against John 1 and then this verse in John 8, they don't hold a candle. Because you're sacrificing something, and when you sacrifice some type of biblical characteristic of who God is and who Christ is, you get something very different than what God had revealed through Jesus Christ. And you were no longer worshiping God. Look with me in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. The words of Paul as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You look at verse 8 with me again. And being found in human form, he, Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. There is great emphasis here. Jesus was a real human being. He suffered death. Now, you've probably heard it 1,000 times, but the Romans knew when somebody was dead. Jesus Christ was dead before they took him off of that cross. He was dead. If he was just appearing to be human, what an act. Because that's the greatest act of a magician ever. Docetism would say that he was just appearing, just seeming to be that, dead. Couldn't really be dead because he's not really human. Did the scriptures say that anywhere? No, the scriptures blatantly say he's both fully God and fully man. Full divinity and full humanity were required, or else the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us was not sufficient to satisfy the full wrath of God the Father. That is why he had to be fully God and fully man. That is why Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And those words are drawing a line in the sand between the church and the world. Those words are the reason the church faces persecution, because we say there's a lot of people who believe in God, but there's a lot of people who do not accept that Jesus Christ is God or the Son of God. And therefore, if they do not accept that fact, they do not and cannot accept the fact that Jesus Christ bled and died for their sins to make them right, to reconcile them with God, with this God that they say exists. But that God is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is one who exists in one essence and three persons. One substance and three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, what does it matter if Jesus Christ is just a man, or if he's not just a man, but he's just God? And all of this is pointless. Everything rests on the truth that Jesus Christ is fully both. And we have to accept that, because there's wolves out there who want to tell you otherwise, who want to make you believe otherwise, and they make it enticing to do so. But when those wolves show their heads, what are we to do as Christians? We're to go back to the Word of God and compare everything against it. Everything. That's why Paul says, test every spirit. You test it against the Word of God. That's what we're to do. That's why it matters. Because if we don't have a good foundation and understanding of who Jesus is, then we lose track of who God the Father is, and we lose track of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity just to preach your word and walk through some text and look at your majesty that's written in words. God, it changes people's lives. It gives courage to people who are in extreme, extreme danger. It brings salvation to people who don't deserve it. God, protect our hearts. Satan wants to feed us lies, lies which only cripple us and lead us to the grave, God. Protect our hearts. You've told us who you are. You've told us who your Son is. You've told us who the Holy Spirit is. So God, we ask for you to protect our hearts and to protect our minds. I ask this in Jesus' name and through his authority only. Amen. Real quick. I mentioned the Nicene Creed.